Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello everybody, welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, a friend, remember Death Stranding? It's kind of become real life, but it was 2 years ago and we all thought it was a little bit mad back then.
A little bit has been generous, I think, Scott. It was completely mad and we thought it was ridiculous, and now, like you said, it's kind of come true.
A little bit. So over on Reset Era, there's a prominent leaker called Navtra that sort of gets out there and apparently is known for leaking stuff ahead of time. They correctly identified a bunch of leaks that Sony did across last year, and they've correctly mentioned a bunch of exclusivity deals that Sony were going to do before they were made public. So they're the ones getting out there saying there's a Death Stranding Extended Edition coming to both the PS4 and the PS5. But the hook is there'll be new story content. They mentioned that there'll probably be a way to upgrade for free anyway, some way to get access to the PlayStation 5 version, or get access to, I guess, like the new features to some degree, but they do mention the assumption of there also being a paid version that will give you this new story stuff. What's your thoughts on them flesh? Because we're some of the only people that finished that game. The trophy data isn't the kindest to it. Without going into spoilers necessarily, do you want more story stuff from Big Codge?
It's just such a strange one, this, Scott Telford, because I did love Death Stranding, and I loved its story, but it almost felt like a complete package. Like, where that game ends, no spoilers, I don't know how they could add more stuff to that. And I also think it's quite a difficult game to, like, just pick up after you've put it down for a long time, because, you know, its mechanics are kind of so demanding, and the way you build that world is so demanding that you almost have to be in it. Like, I always think I'm going to go back and get the platinum, but I know picking up where I left off will be virtually impossible. So it's going to be interesting how they release, you know, this potential extended or additional story content. Will you be able to get it separately and jump into it, you know, from your old save, or will it be kind of like exclusive to this new version where it's integrated within the regular game? Maybe it is just kind of like extended scenes, or, you know, a level in between what we've already got, rather than a standalone piece of content. Either way, though, I probably will play Death Stranding again on PlayStation 5 with all the added bells and whistles, because I did love it, and now, like we said in the beginning, it's more resonant than ever, I think.
The thing with Death Stranding is that I love my time through it. I think it's one of the most, it was so original, you didn't know what was coming. I love that feeling of, like, you know, in an industry dominated by formulas and expectations, and knowing what you're getting, not knowing what the hell Death Stranding was, and just going through it, and every day we would have different conversations of, oh my god, have you seen this? Have you unlocked this? Have you been over here? Have you talked to this character? Oh my god, it's Jordan Vogt Roberts. Like, oh, he's over there. And I love that approach to it. And the thing is, I feel like we also put up with quite a lot in because of that. Like, you just, like, for me, I despise the mountain section in that game. And that was where I get what it's doing. It's supposed to, like, sort of batter you into a paste so that there's the payoff on the other side of it. But for me, that was where all that game's endurance system sort of just just became one, where I was like, this is just tedious. This is just horrible. I am just trudging through the snow, trying to get a bike up a hill. And it felt like I was, like, in a real world blizzard, just trying to get home, like, just trying to get somewhere warm. And so I don't know if he would ever tweak things like that, but I also wonder if, like, the upgrade is kind of just maybe adding, like, haptic feedback. Like, Kojima's the kind of guy that would do something really unique with a PS5 controller, and I wonder if it's just going to be that. Like, you get your 4K 60 up res, and then you do haptic stuff. Maybe you bring in the PC version's ultra-wide options or something for, like, bigger TVs.
Yes,
I wonder if it's going to be something like
cool.
That.
Yeah, I mean, the haptic stuff in particular is so fascinating, because that game, you know, it's all about walking and deliveries, but it's about the terrain, it's about the environment, and being able to literally feel the differences in, you know, rougher terrain compared to something that won't have you tripping over your own feet, you know, like that will add an added level of not only depth and immersion, but also will impact the actual gameplay itself, you know what I mean? Whether you have resistance on the triggers, because Kojima, you know, he tried to do a lot with making that level of interaction with your character and the world and the stuff in your back, like, as good as he possibly could, in my opinion, on the PlayStation 4. But he could do so much more with, like, that balancing act, literal balancing act, between the character and between your own hands on the triggers. If you had a bit of resistance in there, if you had, you know, the rumble vibration that could accurately depict where you're going wrong, where you're going off balance. And that's the stuff that makes me intrigued and interested in how it could be transformed.
Yeah, that was why I mentioned, like, you know, how fascinating it was going through that game and how we sort of quote-unquote put up with a lot. Because I think a lot of the stuff that made people bounce off it was the reality of potentially wanting it to be, like, another Metal Gear, another more, like, action-focused game or something that would have this more, like, I don't know, militaristic feel or have some sort of cool plot with lots of cool twists in that would be rooted in, you know, East meets West kind of fiction. And because it was this hiking simulator, like, I totally enjoyed that. I loved it. Like I said, my breaking point was in the mountains. But having gone back to that save, because I was the same as you, I was like, I'm going to do all this stuff. I'm just going to go visit every character and do that and get the platinum. Trudging through that mountain where I was like, oh my God, I was putting up with a lot to get through this. And voluntarily going back to that when there are other things to play, it just made it sit differently. And I kind of wonder how much that initial endurance test through it only works first time, because once you know exactly what that experience is, if you're going to go back for like a replay, you know, extended edition or whatever, he'll have to place those new story scenes in very specific places for it to be worth, let's say, you know, enduring those things again, if he wants us to trudge up that mountain again or whatever else, just to get to some more character stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's a game that I'm really conflicted about replaying, because I think the opening especially is so much about you just getting to grips with the basics and trying to, like, conquer a very small space. And, like, I, you know, we've talked about this on podcasts and videos before, about how much time I spent in that opening area when I was just going backwards and forwards trying to master the whole thing before moving on. And I don't think you'd get that same experience on, like, a second time through, you know what I mean? I don't think it would work quite the same or hit quite the same. But for me, I think even the story itself is worth revisiting, because while I know we have differing opinions on how it ends,
Princess
Peach, listen, I'm not going to say it's perfect. I'm not going to say it's flawless. In some parts, I'm not even going to say it's good. But I think there's enough threads in there, and it's well executed enough where I would want to revisit it. Because I remember, like, watching the opening cutscenes, for instance, and thinking they were some of the best directed video game cutscenes, like, I'd ever seen. Like, the sense of tension and the way Kojima, like, flows his camera around those scenes. For me, it's even better than some of the stuff in Metal Gear. You know, maybe not from a content perspective in terms of the characters and writing and stuff, but the way they're visually presented, I just completely blew me away. So I would like to go and revisit that part of it, and I wonder whether I won't mind so much if that's what I'm there for, rather than the gameplay angle, which I was very much, you know, favoring the first time through.
The thing that makes me wonder, on a completely separate note as well, is that we did, or me and Jules did, back when it first came out, this idea that, or the reality rather, that Death Stranding really didn't sell. Like, it didn't actually get to number one in the charts. It came in underneath Call of Duty, and then it drastically fell off. I initially wrote down, it fell down to, it went from second place to 8th to 13th to 31st down to 35th in the weeks that followed it coming out in 2018. That was the UK chart. And so if you're Sony, like, I always just assumed that they got Kojima on board because they were like, oh my God, we can have the next Metal Gear. This is the guy and he'll give us this incredible franchise. And then, like, someone, like an artistically minded creator that is him, he's like, no, I'm going to do this crazy hiking simulator. I'm going to use this insane amount of money and I'm going to do my vision. And I, like, champion that so much. And I kind of wonder if you're Sony, do you want to sort of try and hint, sort of prod him in a certain direction to be like, can you just do a little bit of stealth stuff? Just do a little bit of, have a character that's made of bees or something. Just sort of do something that's a little bit Metal Gear-ish. And the fact that he's, if this is all true, that he's, you know, allowed to do the extended edition of the game that didn't sell that well, people didn't really finish, like, that's quite unique in itself too.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when it comes to Kojima, I think, obviously, I'm sure they were hoping for another Metal Gear level success, but at the same time, with a creator like that, I think that you do get a lot of points, especially with, like, the fandom, to just let them kind of like do whatever they want. You know, the fact that Kojima now gets to flex his creative muscles in a way that he never really could by having to continue to come back to do, you know, really good Metal Gear games, not slagging that franchise off or anything at all. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's a lot of intrigue in, oh, what's he going to do next? Might he do more Death Stranding? Might he do this horror game that he's been talking about? I think that would sell a lot because, you know, just of the leftover respect that people have for PT that obviously never got to happen. Even if it's not PT, a horror game from Kojima, like, that would be big. And while Death Stranding itself, like you said, it wasn't this massive blockbuster smash hit on the level of a Spider-Man or a Horizon Zero Dawn or a God of War, every single time Sony releases a report, or every single time, I think a few weeks ago, there was a leaked resume or maybe a LinkedIn from someone who worked on Sony's PlayStation's like marketing team, where they described Death Stranding as a successful big franchise that did sell well. So I think over time it has made money. It's not like it was a huge, huge bomb, just in terms relative to the other big franchises. So there was enough there to justify continuing letting Kojima do random weird things in the future.
Yeah, their whole party line thing in 2018 was that it was the second best PlayStation 4 selling PlayStation 4 game of that year. But the reality of that statement meant that it was second to Days Gone, and it only beat Concrete Genie and Judgment. It was quite a sparse year. So there is that. But yeah, obviously it's still sold decently. I just think that I'm curious what it's like managing Kojima if you're the people who signed his checks, basically. If you're the guy that sort of greenlit and wanted to get him in the first place, and he just continually wants to do Death Stranding stuff, which is just such a unique thing. But also a very quick prediction, because you mentioned the horror thing. He did a couple of tweets recently where he showed it was like him and Yoji Shinkawa, his main art director, working on them. He was like, oh, this is my next project. This is what we're doing going forward. And people zoomed in and realized that the Bridges logo is in amongst a bunch of other stuff that's in there, including what looked like a fetus from Death Stranding, but outside outside of the container thing. And I wonder, just prediction, sheer prediction madness, what if he's building a shared universe? What if he's doing extended stuff here and he's going to pivot into a horror thing? Because there's horror stuff in Death Stranding anyway. But the whole thing in Death Stranding is you already have this horror baseline where you could have, you know, Sam Bridges over here doing his thing to sort of try and help and stop the decay and everything. But you could do some slow burn, slow crawl corridor horror in a completely different part of the world that's still affected by the Death Stranding.
100%, I would really, really enjoy that, especially because we never really got to see what domestic regular life looks like in Death Stranding. We got everywhere else, we got out in the wilderness, but we never really got to see inside those cities properly and what they even really look like and what life looks like in there. So I think you could maybe go down that route, jump into those cities and do a horror game potentially in there that makes it separate enough but still shares the DNA and allows him to have the creative freedom. But I would absolutely take some kind of shared universe because there's so much potential with the premise of the Death Stranding and everything that was introduced in the game, especially that you could take it in so many radically different directions without sacrificing any creativity or feeling tethered to a sense of mythology or lore or a certain amount of characters. Thank you, man. I was just hoping that would slide into the radar and then people will pick up on it in the comments. But you know what I mean?
Nope.
Like, you can just have this big world where you can pretty much do whatever you want and it'll probably make sense.
Mm-hmm. You would hope so anyway. I think, yeah, I mean, for me, I'm just here for Kojima, whatever he wants to do, even though the Princess Beach scene did completely break me. But that's something for the comments to sort of dissect. What do you guys think of the idea of an extended edition of Death Stranding? What would you want from it, gameplay-wise, story-wise? Let us know what you think. For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye, bye, bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.